AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elia Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yep, Ghetto Boys is back and reloaded. All in your mouth, yeah, now deep throated. This is for the streets, the real, the railroaded. The disenfranchised, the truth, the scapegoated.
And they know it, we speak the truth, so they quote it. Cause we wrote it, the north, south, the east coast. It's the GB knocking, we keeping your head bobbing. It ain't no stopping.
And once the beat drops in, violins, the system is so corrupt. They throw the rock out their hands and then blame it on us. It's GB. Don't get it twisted. On code and we ain't dancing for no buttermilk biscuits.
It's Willie D, y'all. Scarface is in the building. Collectively, we are the Ghetto Boys.
Reloaded.
Reloaded with another episode of information and instructions to help you navigate through this wild, crazy, beautiful world. In the studio, Sergeant Kendall Cobb. Former Sergeant Kendall Cobb.
How y'all doing?
Man,
you're good, man. Do you feel the same? Do you feel the same way that like ex ball players feel when you've done something for so long and you got to retire? You got to face that retirement, and now it's time.
The question is, did you stand up there and cry? Was you crying?
No. Okay. That's funny you say that. So, good question. No, I didn't cry. Let me tell you why. So, I've always known the day was coming. When I came on 92, I said I'm leaving. I'm doing 30 years. This year was 30 years. So, I've always had it in my mind. And I never, like, grew up wanting to police. So this is, I mean, I'm glad I did it. Thank God for it. You know, HPD's allowed me to feed my family and do my thing. But, bro, I'm ready to turn the page and keep it moving. But, I don't, my identity wasn't all, no. Because my identity wasn't all HPD. My identity is, like, helping people, which I'm still going to continue to do. It's just I'm doing it in a different capacity. So,
okay.
It served its purpose. I'm cool with it. But it's time to move on. That's a young man's game.
So right. back in the early 90s, man, when you just got with the force, did you notice that a lot of profiling going on, like pulling kids up? Like you witnessed this.
What you mean back in the 90s? You talking about yesterday?
I'm talking about
today.
No, I'm talking about look. So here's the thing. So I'm in my neighborhood.
Yes, sir.
And I'm in a red Ferrari 512.
Yes, sir.
I'm doing the speed limit. I'm chilling. Bubblegum, come on.
Right.
All right, I got my shotgun over in my, you know how we used to ride with the shotgun on the passenger side? So he pulled me over. He make me get out the car. He asked me, could I search the car? I tell him no. He called the dogs. He just really, really went to the extreme.
Excellent, right.
You know, and this is my neighborhood. And then some black cops that I actually know was pulling up, and it was like, man, he didn't want to hear that. I was doing something wrong. I had drugs on me,
right.
And I could honestly say that I have been a target of profiling back in the 90s for a long time. But I think that now that I'm older, excuse me, they don't really pull me over and target me no more. Yeah. For real.
Well, that's because you're older. They see what you see. They know who you are. So they hitting when they get behind you, they hit it.
He's 75 years old. The guy's harmless. leave him alone. He ain't got long.
There's some truth to that. The bottom line is, listen, so back to what you're saying, I mean, the Delaware State deal the other day told y'all stuff still get profiled. And again, they didn't, the Delaware State thing in Georgia, it wasn't like they knew who it was, but once they got on, saw who it was, they were very extra with how they went about it. But nonetheless, back in the 90s, yeah, profiling was going on. Profiling still goes on to a degree. It's not so much because we have to put our we have to put a racial profiling card in every traffic stop.
Say that again.
You have to put a racial profiling card. Yes, there's an electronic card. So basically, and again, I just let it go last month. So up until a month ago, when I did my stops, I don't do stops very often. You got to be doing something crazy for me to stop you, but I'll still stop you. And even I, as a supervisor, had to put in a racial profiling card. Basically, it's a demographic card saying, you know, who'd you stop? Where'd you stop them? You know, what's the demographic of the person, race, sex? And then did you know this prior to all the different aspects? And that helps track people who were racially profiling people. But let me just, again, I got 1,000 stories. So
I need them. I want to hear them all.
I've been stopped throughout my career. And I know it was racially profiled. I mean, I couldn't make this up if I wanted to.
Come on.
So you want your quick story?
Yes, I want to hear all the stories. You kidding me?
No, we'd be here at 6 o'clock. So listen, so I used to work juvenile division. We worked night shift. So there's a subway like at Holcomb near the medical center.
Okay.
So it was my night to do the food run. You know, I'm getting food for everybody. So I go to Subway.
Were you in uniform?
No. I'm plain clothes, but I'm in a police raid jacket and I'm in an unmarked car. So somebody blowing my phone up. So I come out of Subway with the food. I'm about to make a U-turn on Holcomb, whatever it was, to get back to the station. Mm-hmm. My station's off Makawa.
Okay.
Juvenile's located at 300 Makawa. So I'm stopped at a traffic light, waiting for the light to turn. So I made the U. Constable is going the opposite way. So he passes me. I look at him. He looks at me.
Precinct 7?
I don't know what precinct it was. It was right there in that area. So maybe precinct 1. I don't know. I can't tell you precinct at the time, but it was constable. So he looks at me and he turns around and gets behind me. Now, he's going the opposite way. He makes the rolls right immediately and gets behind me. I still wait for my light to turn. So my light turns, I make the U, he makes the U and pops me. As soon as he pops me, I pull, and I shouldn't have done this, but this is like 96, 97. I immediately went to the first driveway and I jumped out the car. And I shouldn't have done that, but I was so incensed because I'm like, dude, I wasn't even moving. You can't say I did. Can you curse here?
Hell okay, yeah.
All right. I wasn't doing shit. Why are you? I mean, he got behind me, and I didn't think. I'm like, he's certainly gonna pop me. As soon as I made the U, he popped me. I jump out the car. I'm in my raid jacket. I'm like, what? And I went up to him immediately, and he like, oh no, it was. And he went some lie about it was some cars broken into or whatever. He reached out of his ass to make that excuse. But the bottom line is, once he saw me jump out in my raid jacket, and I'm like, hey motherfucker, if you look at the plate, you know, you're so hell bent on who you saw driving, if you take the time to look at the plate, it's a Texas exempt plate. That should be a clue. Texas exempt plate, law enforcement, or some governmental agency. That alone should, that exempt plate should spark you that, hey, this isn't, you know, Brother USA or whatever. Even if I am Brother USA, what did I do? I'm stationary at a stoplight waiting for the light to turn. So it wasn't like he could say I did something. When he got behind me, I still hadn't moved because the light had yet to turn. So that's one quick story. So again, he went to the been some break-ins, man, and I just walked off. I'm like, man, get out of here. And I just went out. I could have taken it further and, like, you know, supervisor and stuff, but at that time I was an officer, so I let it ride.
Damn.
Let's go back to your humble beginnings, man. Like, I wanna know, like, what inspired you to want to be a police officer? But even before you get there, I wanna know more specifically who put it into you that say that I want to have a different lifestyle, you know? And where did you come from? Where were you raised?
Okay, so I'm from outside Detroit, Michigan. Metropolitan area, Westland, Michigan. Outside Inkster, Westland, just outside Detroit. So when you fly into Detroit, when you fly into Detroit Metro at Romulus, I'm right next to Romulus. You like, I'm 3 miles from the airport. Mm-hmm. So I grew up outside there, went to Catholic schools. So I sheltered in that regard. So what made me want to police? That's funny, again, I didn't grow up wanting to police. I went to Tuskegee for veterinary medicine.
I went
there with the mindset of chasing skirts instead of chasing my grades. So I get piss poor grades. So therefore, you don't get accepted to vet school if you have piss poor grades. So therefore, I didn't make it to vet school. So graduate, got an Air Force ROTC because Tuskegee has an Air Force ROTC program. Went through that deal, was in Vandenberg Air Force Base in California, did not do well, very academically challenging. So washed out of that. And then I came here because my brother lived here. He still does, but he lived in Pearland at the time. So I came here and I was doing credit card collections. At that time, so at that time, I looked for a job. You know, got this degree, can't really use it. So Teach for America, I don't know if y'all familiar with Teach for America.
You got a degree?
Animal science, animal husbandry.
Okay.
Yeah. So Teach for America, if y'all heard of it before, started in 1990 out of this chick out of Princeton, Wendy Kopp, K-O-P-P, started this program where it got these corporations to fund all these people who were recent college grads who didn't teach but wanted to teach. Didn't have degrees in teaching, but wanted to teach. So it took 500 of us. We went to USC's campus, trained, and went every all four different locations around the country. North Carolina, rural North Carolina, rural Louisiana, and then LA and New York. And I chose New York. So I'm in New York City doing my thing, teaching, loving what I'm doing. Hated New York, but I love my kids. Hated New York.
What part of New York did you hate?
Too fast, too rude, too dirty. I was in Brooklyn. I was living in Brooklyn. So I lived in Park Slope, but I taught in Bed-Stuy. So I would take my little train and, you know, go to Do or Die Bed-Stuy. And I love my kids. I love teaching, but I hated New York because it was just too fast for me and too, I didn't like it. No nature. Anyway, so while I was teaching, Rodney King happened.
Oh, goddamn.
Yeah. So when Rodney King happened, I said, man, you know, this is messed up. I watched the tape like everybody else did. And I was like the enforcer for my school. In other words, you know, very few male teachers in middle schools. I was at junior high school 248, which is, you know, right off Den Howard at Bed-Stuy. So they come to me and, hey, Mr. Cobb, you need to, you know, talk to whomever. And I'd have young men stay afterwards, talk to them, try and mentor, give them some guidance. Because, you know, they run around footloose, fancy free. So I'm like, man, let me go ahead and try and give them some insight. So from that kind of put me in that mode of, hey, let me try and help. But when Rodney King happened, I said, man, wait a minute. Police department, black community. I'm black and I'm black. So I'm like, let me get in here and make a difference. So that planted a seed. So I taught one, is a 2-year commitment. I taught 1 year in New York, then I was supposed to come down here for the second year. And the lady who down here in Houston, oh yeah, promised me all this stuff. But when I got down here, she's like, oh, I didn't ever told you that. So she sold me out. So I had to find a job on my own. And that's when I went to Fleming. I went and talked to Mr. Chester Smith. He was the principal at Fleming.
Well, you went to Fleming?
No, I went by it.
I went by, so I taught.
You know, my niece teaches at Fleming.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, wow. So I was there. Like I said, this is like 91. So I'm teaching Fleming. Mr. Smith gave me an opportunity. And at the same time, I applied for Harris County and I applied for HPD, not knowing the difference. I didn't know. I'm not from here, so I didn't know. First of all, I didn't know what a constable was because we don't have constables in Michigan. So I'm like, so whoever called me first is who I was going with. And HPD called me first. So while I was teaching, I started my little background check. And then I didn't even finish that year out. I taught like 3/4 of the year and that class started. So I told Mr. Smith, I said, thank you for the opportunity, but department's calling. I got the 6-month academy. I got to go. And he was like, no, thank you for, you know, doing what you did in the time frame. Because I was, again, trying to talk to the young men, you know. I talk to young ladies too, but I really focus on young men. Because, you know, you don't want to cause no, hey, you know, no people look at you crazy while you talk to young ladies. So you got to keep your distance in that regard. But I definitely did my thing with young men, trying to like just direct them and put them in the right path. And again, I'm not the answer. I tell people I'm an answer.
Okay.
I'm not the final say. I'm not the word, the black word of life or black police. I'm just telling you, I'm giving you what I learned in 55 years on this earth. And I like think I got a level even keel approach to it.
Who sparked that learning hunger in you from the beginning? Your mother, your father?
My mom, 38-year teacher.
38-year teacher.
Yeah, yeah. So she taught
them. And what are some of the lessons that coming up, like that you learned from your mom that you said, ma'am, that you're still taking with you, you carry to this day?
Accountability is big. Like I'm really big on, you know, owning what you do, good, bad, happy, or sad, you know, and being, and the give back. You know, the classic saying, you're blessed to be a blessing. That's my stuff for real. And that's not like some little thing to put on a bumper sticker. That's my stuff for real. I'm like, whatever I got, you know, and I came from the classic two-parent household, whatever. I'm like, I got that. So if I can help recreate that, because I think it turned out cool for me. So let me jump ship real quick. So I'm jumping straight to my first year of HPD. So I'm in South Park. 14th district. I wrote solo.
So and, you was a rookie
mm-hmm.
in South Park?
Yes, sir.
In solo. The 90s?
Solo.
Oh, no.
Solo.
No,
yes, sir.
Not good.
No, it wasn't.
Go ahead.
Hey, God, babies and fools, right? So,
yeah.
So that goes back to that Rod Rabbit story. So anyway, so I'm doing my thing, and of course, my number one call for service was 1111 MLK. Everybody know that, Orleans Apartments. So get a lot of calls there. So what made a big impression on my mind early on and still affects me now, you mm-hmm. know, in terms of where I want to go with stuff. So the number one call I would get is mom being beaten by boyfriend.
Mm.
Never husband. No, never this. Always boyfriend. Followed shortly by my mom's boyfriend touching kid. But the main
no.
thing.
Oh,
that.
Really?
Clearly number two.
Damn.
That's like, actually it's 1 and 1A. But
what's the first thing?
Mom catching hands from that boyfriend.
That was most of the calls.
That's the number one call I would ever get.
And the second call
was mom's boyfriend doing something with the kids.
And doing something like sexual assault?
Yes, yes. Like
that's the second most call you get?
That I came across. Now, understand this. I'm 14th district and a night shift. So I didn't pull my numbers for the crime reports for the year per whatever category. You know, crimes have categories.
Right.
But I'm telling you, I'm 14th district, night shift, and that was my calls. Assault, domestic abuse by boyfriend on mom, followed by boyfriend doing something sexual to the boys and the girls. So let's not get it twisted. To the boys.
Stop.
So not.
Boyfriend, so, boys.
So it's boyfriend, not husband.
Never husband. We never. That's what I'm trying to tell you.
Wow.
Never husband. And to me, that anyway, I got a whole nother soliloquy on that about the whole marriage thing and us in marriage. But nonetheless, so that's this was my thing, and I'll wrap up on this. So I'm getting calls, and I will sit there and say, so I get there 3 o'clock in the morning. Mom beating up, so I'm getting information. Go in the apartment. Kids are up, watching TV, 3 o'clock in the morning. Or knocked out. But here's the point. Either up, or they up now because of all the drama. Fully clothed. That's what killed me. You fully clothed, yet in about 3 to 4 hours, that teacher is expecting you, the kid, to show up fed, rested, clean, and ready to learn. But you have none of those things because mom is trying to get the wood and she forsakes all her responsibilities for this new dude. And again, and the new dudes just go on. The beat goes on in terms of the next dude who wanted to be the next sire of the next child. Nobody wants to do this. Nobody. And that's what, again, that was my number one thing. And I'm like, that's what really pricked my heart. I'm like, these kids don't even have a chance. So somebody blowing me up. So you good. So check this out. So I was in Atlanta one day with my wife. This is about 2 years ago. And we were in a fish local, I don't know where, some little independent fish shop. And there was a chick there. She was pretty decent looking. And she had maybe 5 kids and all did look different. So I'm assuming that, I don't know the story. But all I know is she was pregnant and she had all these kids. And she looked throat.
She looked throat?
She looked like she was off. Like she was mentally off. But she was still she was aesthetically appealing. Like, I mean, I thought, given the normal circumstances, it'd be somebody you shout at. But, if you don't see with the whole situation, but like I said, she's pregnant, she got these kids. And again, I didn't talk to her and go in detail, but I'm just telling you, I told her, I said, wow, this is crazy. So here you got this kid, you see she throw, and I could tell she throw just by her interaction with the kids. So what dude is willing, I don't care what she looks like. I don't care. Look, we all love it. Yeah, it's great. It's awesome. But, bruh, there has to be, at some point in time, it can't be just about getting the stuff. It has to be about responsibility. And even if you get the stuff, why are you creating life? You can get the stuff and get on. Why are you making a life that you don't even, anyway, so I tell my wife, what person would even take time to impregnate her again? And you see she throw. So anyway, I know I'm going down a whole nother rabbit hole.
Good. I mean,
but my point is this, y'all. I have a soapbox for this. A tremendous soapbox for this.
What does that mean?
This is the hill I die on. I'm about black people in America need to marry. And
why?
Not that, why? Okay. Okay. Y'all hit me. Y'all double. Yeah, okay.
I'm curious.
Because I think it's very important that we understand what goes into that. It's not just a piece of paper. Not just it's a bonding thing.
Is it a bonding thing or is it an institutional thing?
Well, it's both. You know,
I don't want to be in an institution.
Okay, dog. Okay, fine. If you want to go to institution, Rob, but I'm telling you, this is actually bigger than what man has said about it. It's a bonding thing because it creates that unity and it creates that self-sustainable situation that you can branch on from. And what I mean by that is this. I have two sons. My first son is by marriage. My wife was married before. She was a young widow. So he's not my biological, but I've adopted him, so he's mine. And the one I sired. So my pastor's name on is very, very important to me. And the fact that I tell the you know, you, there's something to the name that means something to you, that I show you, hey, I've done this and it's not me. This was done for me and I'm kicking this can further down the road. This was, I got this from my parents who got it from their parents. And I'm just building on this for future generations. And I think it's very important. And again, everybody, do what you do. I'm saying, if you ask me, I think that is a key to a lot of our woes because it will bring in unity. It will bring in a sense of structure. It will bring in responsibility, and it will bring in familiarity. So that child in that situation, you can come home knowing, okay, I'm going to come home, I'm going to get on my work, I'm going to get on my goal, whatever it is, and I'm going to further that. And I have that support base there to make that happen. I got the environment there. We all see weeds growing between concrete cracks, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So those weeds are surviving, but are those weeds thriving? What is that grass? Let's weeds are bad. Let's say grass. Is that grass thriving? The ideal setting for that grass would be good, rich, fertile soil that's water intended to. Sure. Now, the grass can still grow between the cracks and survive, but what is the best setting for that grass to thrive? I submit to you or whomever else will listen that if we create the setting by which we can grow this next generation and grow these kids up, not to say everybody's going to come out on top, but you've at least nurtured the environment and created the structure by which they can. And that's just my thing. So that's all I mean by that. That's the hill I'm dying on, the marriage hill I'm dying on for us. Mm. And again, not that I don't care about others, but I care about us.
Ghetto Boys Reloaded Podcast. We'll be right back after the break.
Mom met a lot of your demands over the years. This Mother's Day, get her the Bartesian cocktail maker that makes premium cocktails on demand. In just 30 seconds, have your choice of over 60 premium or seasonal cocktails, all at the touch of a button. Get $50 off on the Bartesian cocktail maker now when you buy one pack of cocktail capsules. So, for all the times you made a mess, get Mom the countertop cocktail system that makes premium cocktails without making any mess at all. For all the times you begged for soda, get her premium cocktail capsules made with real fruit juice and craft bitters. For all the times you demanded tacos for dinner, get her the Bartesian that mixes margaritas in just 30 seconds. Make Mom's Mother's Day and all the 364 days that aren't Mother's Day with a Bartesian cocktail maker at $50 off. Visit bartesian.com/mother now to get $50 off the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
AT&T connects and ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? they're also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law.
See terms and conditions. 18 plus. What do you say to people who say, who point to the high divorce rate between not just black people, but all people in the United States?
Agreed.
As evidence that marriage is a lost cause?
I completely disagree with that. I mean, I know people say that, and I've heard it as well. And it, I know the divorce rate is high, and it's a lot of reasons. So I say still go for it, but see, it has to be the reason why you marry. See, you can't just marry to marry. You can't marry because she got the big butt or he got the nice car or you want to... You got to marry.
That's what I'm getting to.
Right,
and that's where I'm at too. Yeah. A lot of people get married because they don't want to see the next person with this woman or with this man.
Correct, correct.
And I don't give a fuck.
Okay, so this is my two cents. You got to marry the internal person. Don't get me wrong. You can like the packaging, but the packaging comes and goes.
Man, suppose she big as hell and got teeth missing and her breath stink. Are you cool with that as long as you like her personality?
Well, no, you can't
I'm just
only.
Asking,
that's a good question.
I'm
no,
asking,
you can't only personality. Yeah, but she funny too. Yeah, so what? She funny.
But she smiling, look like a jack-o'-lantern.
Exactly. Yeah. So no, you still got to be attracted to her.
Okay.
But you can't worry about your boys being attracted to her. You got to long as she does it for you and
I like
y'all
that.
And y'all
I like
are,
that.
Right.
I like that.
And y'all are building something. So here's my little thing. So in me and my own situation. I was talking to my wife, and she thought I was about to propose to her and for Christmas, and I didn't. And at that point, I didn't find this out till later. She said, "When you didn't propose to me, because I took her to meet my parents." You know, I'm old school. I'm like old school Beaver Cleavers, you know, the black Beaver Cleaver. I'm like, you know, meet the parents, you know, get the blessing, that type of stuff. So we went to see my parents, and she just knew she wouldn't come back with a ring. And all her coworkers, "Girl, you get a ring?" She's like, "Nope." So at that point, I was on the clock, but I didn't know it. So I ended up proposing a couple months later because I was doing it on my time. I wasn't trying to do it like some traditional stuff. So anyway, the point is, I believe it's imperative that, yeah, you got to be attracted to her, but long as y'all are building something together.
So like building, is that money? Is that wealth? Is that
it's
what is
everything.
That?
It's all the above. It's funny you say. It's every category. So y'all know Dave Ramsey, right?
I don't.
Dave Ramsey?
Willie probably do. Willie know everybody. Willie is friends with everybody.
No,
he is. He's friends with everybody.
Okay. He's a financial guy out of Nashville, Tennessee. Older white dude. He check him out. DaveRamsey.com. Okay. He talks about, anyway. So he talks about these four categories and I'm hook, line, sinker, soul. He says if for a marriage, talking about marriage and your rationale for hooking up with somebody, he said for a marriage to work, if you can get on the same page with these four categories, this will be your path to success. Not every single instance, but this is if you get on these four categories, usually set. Your faith, your finances, sex, and child rearing. So those four categories. Not in that order, but, you know, for that order, for those who, faith, your money, your sex, you know, how y'all get down, and your child rearing. You might be a spanker, she might not be a spanker, whatever. But the point is, if you can get on the same page of those categories, you have a high percentage of making it.
And I was frozen on the sex part.
So back to y'all question about the divorce rate. I know things are crazy with divorce because we live in this social media world and you have a lot of different information coming in and different stimuli. So it dilutes the message. But y'all know who Frances Cress Welson is. Y'all remember her, right?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. There you go.
Absolutely.
All right. So I'm a big, big, big Frances Cress Welson. I just met this dude the other day telling him about the ISIS papers. So Frances Cress Welson used to say, she said, don't marry till you're 30. And she said, in the meantime, you know, get yourself on, get your career.
Well, don't marry until you're at least 30.
At least 30. That's what I'm saying. Until you're right. At least 30. Yeah. Correct. And she said, you know, get yourself, you know, all the fellas, get your silly inside of you, sow your oats. But get your career on, she get her career on. So by the time y'all come together, you're mature. And when she talking about mature, she talking about us. You know, we're way behind females in terms of—
Light years behind.
Light years, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. I'm 2 years old, my wife, but I'm 4 years younger than her. Because, you know, she's running ahead of me mentally.
Oh, yeah.
So the point is, she talks about that. And I've also ascribed to that notion that, yeah, you got to be about something. And so I know— It's 50% divorce rate. But I think people get married because you heard she can really blow.
Come on, Sarge.
She heard you got a big one.
Come on, Sarge.
Just nonsense. I mean, nothing based on meaningful things. you got to marry the person. So yeah, she can be big, whatever, but if you got to look in the side.
Yeah, but one of them titties might be bigger than the other. I can't do nothing. I can't do nothing with that.
Let's switch gears. Let's switch gears.
That's a whole nother rabbit hole.
You a moment ago you talked about your career path.
Yeah.
Now, considering the murky relationship that the inner city communities have with law enforcement, do you feel any type of responsibility to merge that gap?
Oh, without a doubt.
Especially with the youth and as a black man.
Complete. That's what I'm saying. Listen, I told you, that's why I got into this in the first place, police in the first place. So it's funny you mentioned that. So APO, Afro-American Police Officer League, that's our brand. That's what we do.
I love it.
How many members do you have? 700.
Yeah.
And growing.
Nice.
So back in the day, and I'm, again, a whole nother tangent. Back in the day, black officers weren't allowed to do their thing. They really squashed.
What do you mean, do their thing?
To have a union or have any type of organized group. So again, May Walker and the founders of APO, Afro-American Police Officer League, this is like 74 into 75, because the organization started in 75, finally got this union formed and, you know, did their thing because, you know, just things were foul, you know, across the board for
sure.
Officers. Yeah, right. So started this deal. So now it's grown to, like I said, this membership. And we have white, we have Asian, we have Latin members, because we're all about community. So back to your question, yeah, you won't believe the number of officers. See, people be like, y'all cricket officers. I mean, there's a contention to that, but the vast majority of officers are down for, they're not lost on who they are. They know exactly who they are, and they understand why they're there. And trust me, you want the officer, that officer in that scene, because that officer changes the dynamic of how things go when they're present.
Why? And riddle me this. So you have a predominantly black neighborhood, right? Let's just say an all black neighborhood. And you have white officers controlling or patrolling in this area.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that draws That's like oil and water, right?
Completely. So go ahead.
Why are we not responsible as black people to police our own area?
Okay.
You know, we speak the same language. You know, you have compassion toward us as, you know, somebody else would not have no compassion toward us whatsoever.
Clearly.
We just little niggas to them.
Clearly.
With the ER.
So in answer to your question, so there's a contingency of people who want to go and police white officers, who want to go to the neighborhood because they feel like they can just do whatever. Let me give you a prime example. 92, I came on. The dude I used to ride with, we by chance lived in the same neighborhood, and we found that out like first week, so we started carpooling together. His brother worked in Northeast, Brooks, last name Brooks. His brother worked in Northeast, and he said, yeah. So my brother said, man, I can't wait to get on North. I'm going to work night shift. And I'll be like, I'm walking in the corner.
That's what action is.
Oh, he said, yeah. He walked with me by the corner. Come here, motherfucker, and grab my throat. And I'm like, mm-hmm. What are you talking about? So I'm like, I'm not going Northeast. I didn't want to even get down like that. And I'm like, So there's a contingent of people.
Was this
who,
a white cop?
Yes.
Really?
Who, because his brother was already there and he's telling him, this is how you get down. So there's a part of individuals who want to come, and Cuba talked about this a long time ago, you know, do your 8 hours and hit the showers. Come here and police this group this certain way and then get on. Unfortunately, you have officers of color who also ascribe to that notion because they're trying to
assimilate.
Yeah. But
be accepted.
Right. But again, that's a small minority. There are individuals, you should have individuals who look like you because you can relate. See, when you have your officer coming from Iowa and you're like the third black person he's had his dealings with, he's not going to know anything. And and there's no compassion. Like you talk about compassion, he can't see himself in you or your nephew or your little brother or the little
girl. That's not his mama. That's not his daddy.
There you go. And that's not saying, I'm not saying you can't fairly police. No, listen, I just told you, I was a sergeant. I was a patrol sergeant. So I had, and I worked Acres Home.
Dang.
Like 14, 15, 16. So I had all white officers, and maybe one Hispanic officer. No issues. I'll show up on scene, and not because I'm showing up on scene, they just did things right. They just did things right. And I'm like, they handled their business. I wrote them up accordingly because they handled their business. They police fairly. Body-worn cameras came out. So we review everybody's body-worn camera. You have a squad. So you're, as a sergeant, you have, you know, so many officers up under you. You're required to review their body-worn camera every month. So you see what they do. Now, granted, you might miss the one they acted crazy on, but you get a feel for them. You give them a little JPR, little ratings, and you see how they do. And you just go to a couple of scenes and see how they interact. Again, nothing is foolproof, y'all, but the bottom line is you're going to just have to get individuals to understand, treat people the way they should be treated. It's not just treat people, just do what's right. And let me throw this in since we're talking. And I have 1,000 sayings, but this is one of them. White is not right. Right is right. People think, oh, that's you doing it this way, and just that's the white man's way. So early on, my early days at South Park, I got a couple Uncle Toms, and it bothered me. I would lose sleep. It bothered me incessantly. I'm like, why am I Uncle Tom up here trying to? This is my little comeback I devised. So why am I Uncle Tom? Yeah, because you down here arresting so-and-so for whatever. So I said, check this out, man. All black world, everybody black. Is what you did a crime? Is that an offense against somebody? You stealing, you beating somebody up, you doing? Is that a crime? Yeah, it is a crime. Shut the fuck up then. This is about it's about right. And everybody across the board ascribes righteousness to white. Nobody's cornered the market on righteousness. No group has a cornered the market on righteousness. Now, if you want to split some groups, let's split the group of those who want to do right and those who will commit to doing wrong, if you want to split some groups.
Sure.
But across the board, you got individuals who want to help, and you got individuals who want to tear down. So, you know, that's the war going on. That's not it ain't no race war. It's about individuals who want to do right. So back to your initial question and your point, when you come to police, first of all, you got to be a special breed to even want to do this, because it's kind of crazy. Remember, gunshots, we running towards gunshots. Everybody's running away from it. We trying to get to the bottom. And so a lot of times we get cooperation for the public. Sometimes we don't. But we're still willing to get out there and put our life on the line for people who don't even know. And that's crazy because, again, I didn't grow up wanting to do this. And like I wanted to do this, it's just, you know, it happened. So you got to be a person who wants to help, but you got to want to help everybody fairly. You can't just want to help one particular group or one social and economic group or one. No, you got to be across the board. So, you know, extra jobs, I also work extra jobs. So I used to work at AMC at Willowbrook. I had some skinheads come in. And this is horrible, but it's true. So I had it was two chicks and a dude, and they had some crazy shirts on. And the shirt, the one female shirt was like a black t-shirt and had the Europeanized Christ, you know, the European version of Christ, like laid back, like almost in the tomb on some rocks, and had a nun kneeling in front of him. So you see the back of the nun, and he's laid back almost like she's performing. Mm-hmm. And then on the back, now it's front of the shirt, offensive as it is. Mm-hmm. Then on the back of the shirt, it said, Jesus was a cunt. It's a UNT. You know, everybody, that's a big, you know, no word. So people come to me, white, black, Puerto Rican come to me. So I had to go talk to them. Now, they don't like me. And they ready to jump on them. But I can't be like, oh, you don't like, I can't. No. When I signed, took this oath, I took this oath for everybody. So I got to provide the same protection to you that I do to everybody else, regardless of how you're ideology. So I, you know, got them out of there safely. But the point is, it's not about what someone thinks. It's about when I sign up for this, I got to be fair to everybody. So any officer, white, black, Puerto Rican, Asian, Latino, whomever, and I don't care what side of the plate you bat from, if you out here to help, then damn it, help.
But how do you reconcile being a black man in America and working for an organization that was founded to hunt, intimidate, destroy, diminish, subjugate black people?
Good question. So obviously slave patrols, yeah, that's how police started. Right, we get that. Patrol. Right. So understood. I mean, I'm saying that, I have known that for a long time. Bottom line is you gotta get in it to mix it up and make that difference. You know, we can be on the outside and be like rah, 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 or we can get in and change the culture. And again, if going back to what you're saying, if that's the case, then if you never get in, it's going to remain all white. Mm-hmm. And you never get, you get the guy from Iowa and Idaho coming to police who can't relate versus you getting in. So, you know, that classic be the change you want to see.
Mm-hmm. Well, to your point, you know, back in the day in New York, the Irish people used to be abused all the time by police officers.
Correct, correct.
They were abused. The Irish community was, and even the Italian community was abused by police. They were scum, you know.
Correct,
they were degenerates.
No dogs or Irish allowed. Yeah, yeah, the signs.
Exactly, exactly. And what they did is that they started becoming police officers. Mm-hmm. But what's interesting is that once they overtook these departments, they started doing the exact same thing to the next class of people who they viewed as a lower class. They started murdering and robbing and planting cases and intimidating.
Extorting.
Mm-hmm. They started, and that's where we are right now in New York. New York, NYPD is one of the worst police forces on the planet, not just the United States of America, but the planet.
Agreed. There are rings of, there are prostitution rings, narcotics rings, all these things within NYPD. Agreed. Yeah. And I don't know if any in Houston, but I'm, you know, undoubtedly.
I'm sure they are.
Right, because
they
it's just, yeah, just numbers alone. Simple, fourth largest city, soon to be third. So in answer to your question, again, I say to you, what's your motivation for getting into this? Do you really want to help? If you really want to help, again, it's a calling. It's above, it ain't about the money. You got to really want to get out there and help somebody and do the right thing. And not every single person going to do the right thing. I have classmates who have been arrested. I had a classmate who took his own life because he was out there doing foul stuff. They're my academy classmate. All things happen. But if you're in this for the right reason and you stay true to your why. So before I retired, I would go on occasion talk to some academy classes. And one of my, another saying is, my underlying message is, remember your why. You know, and this is even for old heads. Why'd you get into this? You know, when you were green and idealistic, why'd you say you want to do this? And they even ask those kids now, when I, you know, we'll go to talk to cadets. Why? Oh, I want to make a difference. Oh, I want to be a change. Okay, well, you got to keep that as your carrot, you know, in front of you, because you're going to come across opportunities to do all kind of stuff illegal. You're going to come across bribery. You're going to come across, back to my rookie year, I was in 13th District and remember Jump Out Boys, obviously.
Obviously.
So, well, I mean to say that because, you know, I remember. Understand this.
Yeah.
Listen, this is new to, all this stuff's new to me because I'm not from here. So all these terms and stuff, okay. Yeah. Again, I know what the concept was. So anyway, so Jump Out Boys, we're going to go do it in 13th District right across the street, you know, right across on Makawa, east of Makawa. And they need a mark unit to go. So the mark unit's chosen. So they go and kick the door, get my man down, young brother, he and his mom in there. Hooked him up. They're like, rookie, stay here and watch this room. And I'm in this bedroom with, I can't tell you how much money. A lot. A lot. And I'm there to guard the money. And I did. But the whole deal is, I never thought once about, oh, let me get some of this money. That's not why I got into this. You know, jumping subjects, the police department, if for those who were interested, they want to know if you have good credit. And I didn't understand why they thought that was, why would you want, what difference does it make? And it makes a difference because your credit speaks of your integrity.
Huh.
It speaks of, if you know you owe, are you willing to pay? Or are you going to default on it? So that's the litmus test in and of itself, but I didn't understand that coming in. So you'll have opportunities to do crazy stuff. And if you choose to do it, you ain't no coming back. That's you know, you ain't going to Jedi, right? You're going the Sith route. You know, you're going the dark side route, because once you do it, you caught. It gets good to you. Remember Drew Peterson, that officer up in Ohio, killed all his wives and stuff? Okay, you start doing stuff. You just start doing crazy stuff, and when do you turn it off? So the ideal is try to never, ever be corrupted. Try never, ever. Don't let the temptation of money or whatever or girls or whatever your thing is. Whatever your thing is. Understand your why, because if you understand your why, you'll stay resolute. Look, I can tell you a thousand stories, like I said, but here's two quick. I've been at a movie theater, minding my business, off duty, doing my thing. About four times over my years, dudes coming to me, hey, man, what's up? I'm like, hey, what's up? Yeah, you remember me? You smiling. I'm like, nah. He's like, man, you arrest me back in so-and-so. He's telling me I arrest him with a smile. Ask me why.
Why?
Because I didn't you're respectful.
Exactly. Look, I get it. You do what you do, but it's not personal.
When I was a sergeant, personal, man. When you put me in jail, son, I'm fucking mad now, bro.
Shit. He devil's advocate over here. Listen, real talk. So, my child told us that I was at Acres Home. So, night shift also, 6th District. So, 6B01. All those officers I told you about, those young officers. Mm-hmm. So, I would show them this clip, and y'all can watch it later on. It's an old, not Bugs Bunny, but during that era, it's like offshoot. It's Sam the Sheepdog and Ralph the Coyote. And it's basically, they meet at the beginning of the cartoon and they punch a clock. They literally punch a clock. And the sheepdog get on guard and the coyote starts stealing sheep. And they spend time and he steals some. He catch him, beat him up. And at one point, he got him about to blast him. The lunch whistle blows, so they stop. Go eat lunch together. Then they go resume. Whistle blow again. He go resume the thing. Yeah. And he beats him up.
Right.
And then at the end of the day, he says, see you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I show a lot of, I didn't always show, but I would show some of my young officers who were just coming out that video to say, look, dude, it's not personal. So you can't take it personally. This dude is doing a crime. You put him in jail and he does his time and you get on. It's not your job to judge, jury, executioner. You do your job, get them to the jail, let the court system play it out. And that's it. Don't take it so personally that you feel like, oh, you, how dare you on me?
They want to be the judge, the jury, and the executioner.
Ghetto Boys Reloaded Podcast. We'll be right back after the break.
Mom met a lot of your demands over the years. This Mother's Day, get her the Bartesian cocktail maker that makes premium cocktails on demand. In just 30 seconds, have your choice of over 60 premium or seasonal cocktails, all at the touch of a button. Get $50 off on the Bartesian cocktail maker now when you buy one pack of cocktail capsules. So, for all the times you made a mess, get Mom the countertop cocktail system that makes premium cocktails without making any mess at all. For all the times you begged for soda, get her premium cocktail capsules made with real fruit juice and craft bitters. For all the times you demanded tacos for dinner, get her the Bartesian that mixes margaritas in just 30 seconds. Make Mom's Mother's Day and all the 364 days that aren't Mother's Day with a Bartesian cocktail maker at $50 off. Visit bartesian.com/mother now to get $50 off the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true. And I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things and thank you for overcoming them.
Wow. Thank God for the limits.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is one thing that I wanted to say, I want to make sure that I speak on. I heard you moments ago talk about how this cop that may be from Iowa who cannot relate to people in the Black community may commit transgressions against them because he can't relate to them and he don't feel anything. He don't see his brother, himself, or whatever. Yeah, in these situations or with these people. Now, the reason why, and I understand that. I do understand that's part of the reason, but the greater reason is because they're not being held accountable. You see, because you can flip the script and say, well, why don't black officers do the same thing? I see black officers patrolling white neighborhoods all the time, and black officers aren't jumping out killing white folks. Black officers are not abusing white folks and stretching their authority because they know they're going to be penalized. They know they're going to be punished.
They're not even in on that tip.
But I'm saying, even if they were on that tip, retribution keeps them in order. Imminent retribution keeps them in order. And these white cops are not in order because there is not imminent retribution. And so a lot of these cops are out here doing what they're doing because they know that there are not going to be consequences. And even if there are, there's a good chance that they're going to be exonerated at some point because they got this strong union.
Well, it's not so much union. It's just good old boy. I mean, union, yeah, that's part of it too, but really it's the good old boy thing.
They got the union, they got the prosecutor, they got the judge, they got a whole lot of things going on that allows them to continue their
emboldens
behavior.
Emboldens them.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. So yeah, that's a fact. I mean, it's unfortunate, and you would think that the buckaroo system is going its way to dinosaur, but it hasn't. But again, understand this. As time goes on, things is changing. It's a slow process, but again, stay the course. You know,
I'm not with the slow progress process, though. You know why? Because when white folks in this country want something, they get it. Ain't no slow process. Them motherfuckers go straight into that room and write a law. And the next day, that shit's happening.
Mm. Kind of like the anti-Asian thing, incidentally. Immediately, we've attacked with
that. Man, they do that shit like that, man. I don't want to hear that slow process shit.
Okay.
I don't want to hear change is slow and all that shit. Nah. What's slow is a motherfucker who don't see what's happening.
Mm.
That's slow.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, so when we talk about, reform, police reform. This is not like some type of foreign concept, man. This is going back to what you were saying, really treating people how they want to be treated. We don't really need police reform. We need police to fucking conform.
You had to read a new law. Exactly. Just do again.
We need these motherfuckers to be held accountable because the laws are already in place.
Right. Exactly.
Right.
They need to be held accountable. They're not being held accountable.
Why are they not being held accountable?
Hold on. And let me say this. It's not just their superiors who are not holding them accountable. It's not just the unions that's not holding them accountable. It's not just the prosecutors. It's not just the judges. It's also your local politicians, your city councilmen,
even
your,
in the
your
neighborhood.
State, it's societal. It's societal.
It's your state reps. It's your congressmen and women. It's your presidents. It's all these motherfuckers are in the same game.
Agreed.
And if they want, they got the power to stop this shit overnight. They can not overnight, right now, if they wanted to.
Agreed.
If they right now said, okay, we coming after every motherfucker that get out of line, every one of you you racist motherfuckers that cross that line and do that fucked up shit, we gonna get you. And once it start happening,
right,
and they see that shit happening, they gonna buck at first. They gonna buck at first. The union gonna buck. Well, we're not gonna go to work. That's what we'll do. We won't show up.
Mm.
They'll buck at first. But the moment they start replacing their asses,
Did you see what they did to De Blasio?
That shit'll change like that. They're not willing to hold them accountable because they're playing politics with people's lives.
Clearly.
The police force in New York turned their back on De Blasio. That's what I meant.
That's the type of shit they'll do.
Right.
They got too much power. The unions have too much power. They got too much power.
So, agree. So here's your deal. So answer your question. So let's go back in time a little bit. And I go to Shrine a lot. Well, used to. I haven't gone recently, but Shrine Black Madonna. And I would go to those free classes they had there, and they talked about this incessantly.
Incessantly.
So they would say, you know, back in the day,
the government had a choice, either start investing money and resources into the community or let it go the way you see it went with the drugs and just let whatever happens happen. And you see the decision that was made, and we're still in that flux of that decision being that was made years ago. And what you see now is just a manifestation of what decision made late 60s, early 70s into as we speak now. And it continues to be made. So it goes back to that accountability thing. And I hate this. I hate this because, okay, so again, I'm 55. I'm older than both of y'all, right?
No, we're in the same.
Yeah, you older than me. Both of y'all older than me.
I'm 55. When's your birthday?
It's September.
September.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's okay. Older than
September
you, Willie.
What?
21st.
Okay, you got me by a month and a half.
Okay, all right, cool. So here's my point. Here's my point. So remember Donahue?
Yeah.
So Donahue, you know, pre-Oprah days, it was Donahue. Mm-hmm. So Donahue had somebody on, and maybe it was Farrakhan. I don't know who it was. But the point is this. Donahue had somebody on, and a white lady got up, and she said, and
I was a teenager. I think I hear violence.
Yeah. No, not that. Not that clip. Okay. That's funny. They say that because I know that too. Mm-hmm. So she says, yeah, you get yourself out of the situation. She was spitting so much venom. She got up and she's like, yeah, you get yourself out of the situation. And I'm a teenager at the time. And I felt like crying. I'm like, what? Get myself out? You help create the situation. That, get ourselves out. You're asking to. I just thought that was such a hard line to take. But unfortunately, that's what we've been told. America's told us, get yourself out of the situation. So it goes back to, let's get back on my horse. That goes back to this. That goes back to us doing what's right. And I think, and again, this is, I could be outside my neck on this one, but I don't think I am. I think if we start doing our thing, and I'm not saying look, we got to do our thing too. We got some skin in the game too, because it is our own futures. It doesn't matter what others are doing. If we start at home, if we just keep it at home with how we handle ourselves, I can't step on your shoe and you want to shoot me it can't be that. It has to be bigger than that. My love, my love for you has to be way greater than some affront you did to me. So side note to the side note, personally, and I don't know y'all stories, I let a lot of shit ride over the years, on and off, because I'm like, bigger fish to fight, a bigger fish to fry, and bigger fight to go at. Mm-hmm. I don't, that little incidental stuff on the race tip, I'm talking about within the race, I let a lot of stuff, yeah, okay, whatever, because I'm not trying to fight you, bro. I'm trying to build some community. I want some family and some structure and some guidance and a sense of community where people actually care. You know, again, I can go all over the map on this. George Floyd, let's jump here. Let's go here. So, y'all know the deal happened in 20, like Memorial Day 20, when he got killed, right? Right there in front of everybody. So, you know, they had a funeral for him in Minnesota, and then like June 9th, they had a funeral for him here.
Okay.
So, I'm working at Cass's, my extra job, the original one on Westheimer, and pandemic's on, but, you know, family is still kind of fresh. So we're still letting people in. It wasn't no like stop people at the door. So the lobby's full, and there's a dude in there. He's wearing, he just looked like he was out of town. He had Los Angeles Sippers instead of Clippers, like Sippers. And I don't know, I just remember that shirt stood out. And he's with a girl, real bad girl, super bad girl, like super bad. And he like, yeah, he just like made a spectacle of himself. And he's messing with this other brother in line. And I'm like, I'm watching up there, and then I'm watching further, and then he like started almost getting on the dude. And the other dude had a pregnant girl with him. And I go, like, hey, man. I say, hey, why don't you calm down? And I ask him to step outside. He goes outside, and he's with a crew. And they were like, I already seen him in the parking lot earlier, like maybe 12 deep. Anyway, so we going back and forth. And now I'm like, hey, man, you know, you need to calm down. He getting agitated about, like, he want to get that to do. He like looking over me, taller than me. He looking over me, and I'm like, "Hey man, calm down!" And he slaps my hand. And the dude with him, the dude's name was Trey. Cause I even journaled about this. I called it the Trouble with Trey, based on the Trouble with Tribbles with Star Trek. Anyway, So I put, because I thought it was so troubling that this dude. Now this is the week of George Floyd's funeral here in Houston. So this is the Friday before. So like the funeral was like on the 9th or whatever, that Tuesday or Wednesday. So this is the Friday right before this. So everybody knows George Floyd's funeral about to be in this week. So, this dude slapped my hand away, and a dude with him, the dude said he was his cousin named Quincy, these actual names. He said, what are you doing? He said, Trey, what are you doing? And Quincy grabbed Trey and tried to shove him back towards the parking lot. And I let that ride. Now, why'd I let it ride? Bro, this is the week of George Floyd's funeral. I'd be damned if I don't get into some officer on black male confrontation the week of George Floyd's funeral, and then I told you 12 deep, and then me getting some skirmish and the officer assisting. This thing could have snowballed into who knows what if I was like, hey, respect my authority. I mean, I let it ride. I let it ride because I thought, big picture, this can go sideways real quick. And for what? This dude clearly was out of his head, zoned up, doing whatever he had in his system. So he was at the restaurant, so that was it. Lo and behold, and I'll wrap it up. Lo and behold, after he's out, some other dude come in and give me, I'm talking about some meme mugging. So I'm like, hey, what's up? You know, and he like, he was part of the group. And I said, are you looking for your boy? I said, yeah, he's not in here. And me and him getting some confrontation. And I'm like, do you want to eat here or do you want to leave? And I'm like, listen, bruh, I ain't trying to go this route, but bruh, we still got to have order. We still got to have structure. Your boy was foul. The other dude removed him. Thank God for that. But we ain't trying to linger this on. And they ended up leaving. Nothing became of it. I never had to call for units or nothing like that. But my point is, just think if that slap of my hand would have turned into me and him scuffling and me and him fighting and then them jumping in and weapons drawn. For what? This is the week of George Floyd's funeral in Houston. For what? So, I don't know if that, I'm sure I'm way off on a tangent, but does that make sense what I'm saying?
It does make sense. And if more officers had your type of mentality, especially white police officers. And by the way, let me say this right now. I believe that white police officers should not police in the United States of America because they're too biased. No, I'm serious. They're the ones doing all this killing. The white police officers are the ones doing all this killing.
Killing the black men.
So they should be. These white police officers should be profiled just like they profile Middle Easterners, thinking everybody going to blow up something. Totally vet them to make sure that they ain't got it in them. You know, they really need to be checked hard. I know we gotta go, I got a couple more questions I really want to ask you real quick. I need to first of all get your thoughts on the Young Thug in Ghana situation where they've been brought up on RICO charges.
Yeah.
What's your thought about these rappers?
Bring me up to speed.
Well, just what Young Thug and Rico, Young Thug and Gunna was brought up on RICO charges, along with several other members of their camp. Mm-hmm. Okay, and then there's other rappers around the country that have been brought up on RICO charges because they're closely affiliated to the streets. Mm-hmm. And so, whereas they may not even have anything to do with it, but they're being accused because they hanging out with these guys, they're kicking it with these guys, and these guys are being accused of committing crimes. They're getting connected to the RICO Act.
Well,
you know, what are your thoughts to that and the way that law enforcement uses the RICO Act?
That should not be the case, only simply because, I mean, you can't control who you grew up with, you can't control family members if you got them doing whatever. Again, I'm not going to sit up and tell y'all I'm down with people doing foul stuff. I'm not. I just told you, I'm up, walk the straight line as best you can. However, I don't want to sit up here and just broad stroke everybody because of your affiliation with whomever. So just because you know somebody or do whatever, don't mean you are also doing the same dirt. Mm-hmm. So that is not good at all.
They're actually accusing Young Thug of okaying a hit.
God damn.
Oh, see, like I said, I'm not up on this.
That's
all.
A little bit different.
Yeah, that's, okay,
that's a little different. Now they're accusing. I don't know if they have any proof of that, but that's what they're saying. Before we let you go, man, what is it that we can do, society, the people, the community can do to forge a better relationship with law enforcement?
What we can do to forge a better relationship with law enforcement?
Specifically black people.
I got you. So what we can do is, first of all, is from an officer's point of view and our point of view, stop being adversarial with each other. Officers got to stop being, oh, I'm going to come to this neighborhood and police this way and think I'm going to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And individuals got to understand, look, you can't, every officer is not going to be treat you the same way that last officer treated you. And see, that goes back to the whole thing about, hey, you arrested me back then. I got to do right by you. And it's not personal. I keep saying it's not personal. You did a crime. I arrested you. You went to jail. You came back.
Suspected of a crime.
Well, suspected of a crime. Right. Suspected of a crime. So then, let the court system play it out. good point. Good clarification. Suspected crime. I do my deal. Let the court system play it out. If you come back out, you ain't doing no crime or suspect doing no crime, we ain't got no issue. Mm-hmm. So the whole thing is, we black people, let's start being accountable for our actions, just like these also need to be accountable for their actions. Meaning, we don't, everything can't be, oh, because whatever. Let's do the right thing as best we can. Mm. Not granted, I'm sure you got 14 stories, you got 18 stories about somebody also doing you wrong. I just told you one deal earlier about, I'm an officer getting done wrong by an officer. But the point is, we need to have a sense of community, back to Francis Cress Wilson, sense of community, sense of, hey, we got to look out for ourselves. And, you know, the Panthers back in the day, what was that all about? That was about community policing ourselves, protecting our own community, because law enforcement in Oakland, California wasn't doing that. So they said, we'll do it ourselves. You know, guardian angels to some regards up in New York or anywhere else. So we had to be accountable for our own actions, look out for each other. Don't let so-and-so who you know be messing less than kids make it. He can't make it.
No.
She can't make it. That's not cool. You got kids. I got kids. Nobody who wants their child molested? Nobody. Who wants their catalytic converter stolen? No one. Who wants their, you cut me off in traffic and I'll shoot at you now? No one wants that. So we just have to, if you're asking, and you are, we have to rewrite, deprogram and reprogram ourselves to have a love for one another and overlook a lot of transgressions that we normally would be fighting on and shooting on and cursing on, and let it ride and look, step back and look at the big picture. And the big picture is we need to be fully, give ourselves every chance to be that blade of grass in that fertile field, not that blade of grass growing between those cracks in the concrete. Mm-hmm. Be that, create that setting where we all can grow up and have this rich field of grass, bunch of blades together, a field. Not singular blade, singular blade, singular blade, a community of blades making a field of rich grass that is strong and focused on uplift. Mm-hmm. I hope that answers the question.
That answers the question, man. And that's unity and unity, community, and your former point, which is treat people like you want to be treated, man. Thank you for coming on the show.
Oh, anytime. Yeah,
ladies and gentlemen.
Thank y'all. I appreciate
Kendall
the
Cobb. Sergeant. Kendall Cobb.
Appreciate
Kendall Cobb. Bam. No more time.
This episode was produced by A-King and brought to you by
the Black Effect Podcast Network
and iHeartRadio.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We're the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.